This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is the Tuesday edition of VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall, Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Just for the day's sake, and again, we'll get to some of this time travel over there in Melbourne on Thursday. But for tomorrow, Jensen, we know we've got NFL football here one day away from the start of the brand new season.
It is already tomorrow. For some of you tuning in halfway around the world, we do appreciate that. And we will get the right day of the week for people that want to travel back in time. So you understand what happens with San Francisco and LA and Melbourne. But we are excited, buddy. Christmas Eve here for the NFL season. A little Monday Night Football appetizer last night that was delayed. I know your sleep schedule and circadian rhythm is already off, so I know you don't care. Oh, yeah. But we've got football back in earnest tomorrow, full 100% go.
And we have power, knock on wood, for all 3 hours of this program today. There will be no delays in the making of VSiN by the Books here on a Tuesday. Matt Humans is going to join us from Sin City here in just a little bit later on this hour. Greg Peterson, get his baseball plays on the docket today. And if you have not had your fantasy football drafts, we're going to give you the last opportunity to make sure you're ready for the regular season with Paul Kelly joining us later on today. But Jensen, that's where we are, right? We're just 24 hours away. Cannot wait for the start of the NFL season in earnest. And that's where we begin today's edition of our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
A lot of these teams, Jensen, like to make some deals before the season starts. And if you don't get those deals done before they start, sometimes they say there will be no deal. And we know there are certain teams and certain players dealing with that. But with this countdown on to just one day away from a rematch of the Super Bowl and then just 2 days away, but we'll hear from Kyle Shanahan. Maybe it's one or three, depending on your outlook here from Melbourne in Australia. A deal is done, a rather significant one last night as well, with Christian Gonzalez, now the highest paid cornerback in the NFL at almost $34 million per season. And Jensen, it is somewhat of a surprise in that sometimes the Patriots don't do this, but they locked up their guy, made sure they got him in the fold here before we get to week one, which is tomorrow.
Yeah, that's good. It now is one of those spots where you don't have to worry. And again, we looked at Devin Witherspoon there for the Seattle Seahawks, had reset the market. He was $33 million per year. Well, come on down now with Christian Gonzalez at 33.75. So if you're thinking of it, and Adam Schefter pointing this out on social media, Gonzalez now the top paid at 33.75, Witherspoon at 33. Trent McDuffie, don't forget about him. Remember the extension after the trade to get over to L.A., $31 million. Sauce Gardner, of course, now with the Colts, $30.1 million, and Derek Stingley Jr. at $30 million. So it's not Major League Baseball money, Dave, as far as total value, but at least $102 million guaranteed there for Mr. Gonzalez. Well done. Good job, because a guy that can really, we hope, have a big time impact. What a one-on-one matchup we will potentially see tomorrow between he and Jaxon Smith-Njigba in Seattle.
Oh, that'll be worth it to watch that isolation matchup right there. And when I say that this is not normally something the Patriots do, Jensen, how about this? It's the first Patriots first round pick to sign an extension with the team since 2012, 14 years ago. So they go through the draft process a little bit differently, and here they have finally re-signed one of their own, Christian Gonzalez. By the way, Travion Henderson still did not practice, another DMP with that ankle. Nick Bosa, by the way, making that trip across the world there to Melbourne, says he will play on Thursday. We'll talk about that game coming up in just a little bit as well. But how about Circus Survivor as well, Jensen? We're getting past $20 million now with signups. Still 5 days to go. But I'm sure Mike Palm, Derek Stevens and company, very, very excited about that. We'll talk more about that a little bit later on as well. But Michael Penix, we know he's going to be inactive on Sunday for the Falcons against the Steelers here, Jensen. Kevin Stefanski, though, vague on the details, right? Hey, Tua's going to be the guy week one. Beyond that, we'll have to wait and see. And as I alluded to yesterday here in our conversations with Marty Herney, that's what it signaled to me, Jensen, is that Hey, two is the guy. Down to three, by the way. This did hit 3.5. Back down to three today, this morning. But that does not mean that Tua is the permanent starter here in the ATL.
Yeah, and I don't think he can be. Obviously, with what we've heard and seen, especially in those preseason games, any quarterback that took the field for Atlanta looked distraught. The Steelers still feel like the correct side here, Dave. I don't know if I'm willing to lay the three just yet, but that would feel like knowing that from what I saw, if my eyes don't deceive me, then I can't trust backing a Falcons offense that is so decrepit at quarterback in week one. I would rather have Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy, and you would think a well-oiled machine there from many years together, that should be enough to handle it for a home opener. So Steelers would be the side for me. I don't know if I'm willing to lay the three just yet.
We're going to have a new segment that will debut tomorrow, too. Basically, we're going to get to our own version of Survivor right here on VSiN by the Books. We'll explain that. I wonder if that game might be involved in that process with the Steelers down to 3-point favorites up from down from 3.5 a day ago. What a wild Monday Night Football game it was. I was all settled in, ready to go. Let's get some kickoff. And we get the pregame show here, Jensen. And the night the lights went out in Tallahassee for almost a 2-hour delay. And then when you finally play the game, you don't have the clocks right here for about the first half of this game. Very bizarre feel to it. But at the end, if you had SMU and you laid the 2.5, you win. You laid the 3, you push. And the under here, it's 27-24. In a game, Jensen, it felt like SMU allowed Florida State to hang around with a long, long time in it.
Totally agree. Thank goodness we played the under at 53.5. So another winning night on the gridiron for yours truly. Exciting to see where this first coach fired market goes. If you're on prediction markets, I know it's just south of about 50 cents on a couple of those spots there for Mike Norvell before the game. I'm seeing places north of 85 cents this morning, Dave. So not a matter of if, feels like a matter of when we'll have a coaching change in Tallahassee. But good on SMU. I thought it was great. And of course, a great friend of the program, Taylor McGregor, doing just yeoman's work last night, really setting everyone up and understanding that this is like when you and I watched football games in the 1990s. No iPads, no devices,
that's
no
right.
Communication, no clock. Hell, you know, it was like, as they said, backyard football. And for a team in SMU that goes lightning quick, they had said that they did not talk or simulate in the last 2 years being able to call plays without the headset. I don't know how you do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a wake-up call last night for every college football program in our day and age of technology, Dave. You better have, you know, the smoke signals ready just in case this technological issue surfaces again.
Yeah, I gave out here on the program yesterday, SMU first half, laid that 1.5. We get home there with that 7-point lead at halftime. Then you got to hang on. I did have them 2.5, so fortunately got the better of the number on SMU side as well, but did not stay up to the bitter end of that one last night. The sleep deprivation already kicking in here, Jensen, but a 3-point win for SMU last night. Kyle Whittingham says that Bryce Underwood is Michigan's quarterback right now. But that improvement is needed. Now, if you listen to the full context of it here with the new head coach there in Michigan, he said, hey, coach has got to get better. Players got to get better. We got to make sure that we all kind of trust each other right now. It did not look good in that wild game, certainly ending. Did they deserve the last play? It didn't appear so from our vantage point here, Jensen. But it is interesting that in the day of NIL, for a guy that basically got a 2-year, $12 million NIL deal, he's kind of the old NIL version, Bryce Underwood. That's not a ton of money, if you can believe that, for what we're talking about paying college kids. And with the new head coach there for the Maize and Blue, I wonder how long he's really going to be tied to Bryce Underwood.
Yeah, well, as far as ties to this upcoming game at high noon at the Big House, we are hoping that we get a real clock that everyone follows first. And then secondly, I think that internal clock for Kyle Whittingham is going to be ticking quicker.
Yep.
Because Bryce Underwood going to be under siege from this Brent Venables defense with the Sooners. Dave, I've seen this number tick down on the total already a couple of points, and I can understand the line move 100%. This Michigan offense looks absolutely atrocious. You're asking that defense now to try and stop John Mateer, who looks a lot better. Isaiah Satania on the outside. there are matchup problems for that Michigan secondary, but I do think there'll be enough there to kind of bow their necks and keep this Oklahoma offense a little bit off schedule in the red zone. So under would be the angle that I look at right now, but totally understand where Bryce Underwood could be on borrowed time.
Yeah, you got a new coaching staff that's in there now, and Kyle Whittingham saying it's got to look a lot better than it looked last week in that narrow win against Western Michigan. Jesus Luzardo, absolutely spectacular. Woo. With that gem yesterday for the Phillies over the Braves. Big news in New York. Aaron Judge is going to return tonight. Shohei Ohtani was back in there. Feels like some of the bigger stars of the game here, Jensen, at least on the Judge and Ohtani side, are back. And then Luzardo kind of gives you that feel for what the Phillies can do in a postseason, Jensen, with their 1-2-3s. Maybe not the most depth in that pitching staff, but when he pitches like that last night, boy, that feels like a big three in Philadelphia.
They won't need it. It was on with Jim Bowden on Illinois Network Radio yesterday, and we were even talking about how they are so built for October, the way that postseason baseball is played. You run out those big three, Christopher Sanchez, Zach Wheeler, Jesus Luzardo. You have a back end of the bullpen that looks the way that they do right now. Big shift in the wild card race yesterday, Dave, because with that win for the Phillies, the Cubs fall to Milwaukee. Now the Phillies, a half game ahead for that top wild card spot. Dave, home field advantage going to be so critical in the wild card round, I think, in both leagues, especially with the Red Sox now, who have won five in a row, just two back of the Yankees for that top spot in the American League.
And a big loss last night for the Blue Jays out in Sacramento, taking on the A's with Dylan Cease in the bump. So the AL wildcard picture changing before our eyes there as well. All right, when we come back, we're just one day away here from the start of the NFL season. I got some interesting things you're going to hear from as well before we get to the Patriots and Seahawks and the Niners and Rams in Melbourne. It's all next right here. Beeson by the books.
VSiN by the books, right here on VSiN.
Football fans rejoice. College football is all the way back, and the NFL season kicks off tomorrow. Now is the time to get your edge with a VSiN Pro subscription when you sign up today. Instant access to our updated NFL betting guide with post preseason updates, week one betting systems, contest strategies, fresh best bets from our experts here at the network. Plus, you're going to receive our college football betting guide previews of all 138 FBS teams. You sign up today, daily best bets, real time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI powered prop tools, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. You can get started for just $9.99 or save 50% off of the VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Jensen, we can't wait. Pacific Northwest, it should be a show out there. Stand up Seahawks 12, that 12th man is always a big deal out there. Look, the Super Bowl was non-competitive. I did think that what was interesting about this rematch here to kick off the year, Jensen, is that if you heard Sam Darnold a lot this summer, he was not happy with the way he played in the Super Bowl, which is ironic because we don't think about that. It was a blowout. Sam had such a great year, and yet he feels like, boy, I can't wait to get at these guys and play a little bit better. This number sitting at 3.5, that total sitting at 44, 44 and a half. Shop around for your best numbers depending on which side of that total you like. Jensen, what do you make of this matchup here? Because you know the Patriots have been stewing over this all season. Like when we talked to Marty Herney, he's still thinking about those two Super Bowls he lost. You never forget those losses you had in the biggest game of the year.
Well, you get the crescendo and the lead up into opening night. They hang the banner there in front of the 12s for the Super Bowl champions. They've already gotten their rings. And now the tough part begins is trying to go out and defend the title. Well, obviously, the off-field shenanigans that Mike Vrabel has had to deal with, all those distractions being what they may, I think that's the operative word, is may. Drake May. He wants another bite at the apple. It was not his best performance by a long shot. All of the consternation, all of the critique about, hey, the Patriots had a soft schedule. Looking at the road they had to get through in the AFC postseason, maybe not the most resistance. However, this is the NFL. You still got to win in January to try and get to February. Well, they did that. They were the last AFC team standing, and they won an opportunity to be on top of the heap to start 2026. I got to the window on the Patriots money line. I've told you this for weeks. I feel that this is a spot, and I know traditionally, even in our VSiN NFL betting guide, where you look at just this head-to-head matchup. Seahawks, the last 7-5, 1-1 ATS. The over is 7-1 in those eight last head-to-head matchups. I just think the Patriots have way more of a chip on their shoulder. They are so tired and fed up of everything off the field. Mm. They want to get back on the field, and then to parlay that, Dave, with the embarrassment. They've had to marinate on the embarrassed level and hear about it. I can tell you, as a former professional athlete, when I was inundated with guys that would own me as far as hitters or ballparks that I couldn't pitch, I wanted nothing more than to go prove people wrong. I fully believe you get a united front from this Patriots group. I think they come out and they absolutely establish themselves as that team to beat, at least in their eyes. Maybe it's not in the entirety of our network and everyone else that's looking at it, that the Patriots are the team to beat. But I think that's their mentality, is unfinished business. We left a lot on the field. We didn't play our best football. Let's go 1-0. Let's get out to a great start and let's feel a lot better about ourselves.
By the way, we've got some breaking news here. This number's down to 3 this morning in some spots here. So while you've got 3.5 still posted at certain spots, so again, depending on which side you like, if you like the Patriots, you better gobble up those 3.5s because they're going by the wayside at DraftKings right now. It is down to 3 as we speak here early this morning on a Tuesday. You know, a couple questions that I have. One, you mentioned Drake May and the Super Bowl performance last year. And, you know, everybody's getting back to the tunnel shot where he looks stiff as a board and like, highlight, you know, the headlines were just too bright and everything was too bright for him in that moment. Well, what if he was hurt? Because it did seem like the shoulder was a problem, right? Now, they're not alluding to that. They're not saying that that was it. But if you remember right after the Super Bowl, Vrabel alluded to it after the fact. So you're not making excuses for the kid, but Jensen, he was not 100%. I think that's clear to see in the Super Bowl. So it might not have just been about the moment. It might have been about an injury as well. Two, who's going to carry the ball here for Seattle? So no Zach Charbonnet in this one. Jadarian Price is going to have to be the guy. My guy, George Helani, and I'll be looking at him in some props here, as I like to do in the playoffs last year. Once you saw Charbonnet go down, I wonder, is that going to be good enough? Is Jadarian Price going to be able to handle that load? Because Kenneth Walker was the Super Bowl MVP last year. He's in Kansas City. So while a lot of the components of these teams are similar, there are some differences, specifically in that backfield here for Seattle. And 100% Drake May, I wonder if that's good enough to make the difference, Jensen, that you're looking for at plus at +$1.72.
Yeah, and again, the development of Will Campbell for the Patriots side, too. I know that was part of our VSiN NFL Betting Guide 2.0, and it was a great job by our staff highlighting that, remember, it was Drake May under pressure, didn't have time to throw, add on the potential injury he might have been dealing with, and a whole lot of things for him to try and overcome. Perhaps now with a full offseason, a full training camp, sounds like Mike Vrabel and that staff are very excited about the steps forward, and that's massive, knowing that Travion Henderson has been a DNP as far as practicing here the last handful of days. As far as Seattle goes, there is something to say about that home field advantage on night one, Super mm-hmm. Bowl champs, so the defending champs having a pretty solid record here. I just think this is an isolated spot where the uniqueness of the matchup, right? It's the teams that these last two franchises faced in their final game of the season. Rarely do we get it. And I just think this time player B usually has the better advantage, usually has the adjustments and has more to prove. So give me a little motivational juice here too for the Patriots coming cross country. Their circadian rhythm is going to be just fine. All right. In the late afternoon there, in front of the 12. So excited to get underway. Love that already. We've got some movement and the spread in our favor here. So yep. Excited to kick it off there tomorrow night.
That total sitting at 44 in some spots, 44.5 again at DraftKings. You don't think those half points matter? Check out that SMU and Florida State game last night as well. They matter big time. We had Marty Herney on yesterday, and always great to catch up with Marty on Mondays. He mentioned Darren Bennett as we were talking about the game in Australia between the Niners and the Rams. For people that are of a certain age like myself to remember Darren Bennett, the big punter back in the day, and he was a weapon in the NFL for as long as he was a kicker in there. He knows about this, about playing on cricket fields and what this is like. Well, This is Femi Abebefe and Marty Herney yesterday on the GM Shuffle talking about exactly that and that iconic punter from down under.
The stadium, the field is a cricket field. So it's 215 meters long. So 240 yards long and 156 yards meters wide. So 170 yards wide. So the NFL field is going to look like a postage stamp in the middle of that thing. And the one thing the players won't realize is because the stadium is spread out like this, when this crowd yells, it takes a minute of delay for this crowd to yell. So it's not like an NFL stadium where everyone's like this and the sound comes straight down on you. It goes around the stadium. And so they'll get a totally different experience. When someone scores a touchdown, there'll be like a delayed response from the other side of the stadium. So I think that'll make it pretty cool as well.
Just what a cool dude, Darren Bennett, joining Femi and Marty on the GM Shuffle. Please check it out wherever you get your podcast. But acoustics, Jensen, you've played in a bunch of different yards out there in your day in Major League Baseball. Are there any that kind of you can relate to what Darren's talking about?
Oh, yeah. The Coliseum in Oakland, it felt like I absolutely was a sniper, man, or a cannonball coming out because the way the catcher caught it. And as I told you yesterday, that was the first stadium that came to mind with all the quote unquote foul territory of the Coliseum in Oakland and all of the extra, you know, real estate there that Darren was alluding to. This is a different way to consume the game. But I think what's unique is still it's about the travel and it's about the two very different ways of approaching preparation for this game. I've seen posts about sleep studies, consulting with sleep experts about the whole circadian rhythm. It takes you 2 weeks traveling all these time zones to get yourself right. We're about to have a crash course, Dave, in what's going on as far as how the human body and the athletic eliteness comes out. Good news if you are a 49er backer, which I am. Nick Bosa, you talked about off the top. George Kittle, yep. Christian McCaffrey, because remember, Dave, it is tomorrow or later today down there in Melbourne, all in full uniform. The injury report will come out a little bit later, perhaps later on today. So stay tuned to the network for what those guys' practice looks like. But good news for those three stars for the Niners, full uniform. Hopefully it is a full level of participation in practice today.
Yeah, and I know you and I are both aligned on this under. It is sitting at 48.5 right now. Niners right now, you can get them about +3.5 is what we're still seeing in the marketplace. Have not seen fours populate. I wonder which way, if any, that number moves before we get to kickoff today, tomorrow, depending on where you are in this world right now. We know where Matt Humans is. He's in Las Vegas. He's going to join us next. We'll get his best bets straight ahead right here on Visa by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
Going to talk some baseball with Greg Peterson in the next hour. Paul Kelly, hour three, some fantasy football. If you've not had your drafts, we know there's some people still drafting before the start of the NFL season. We're going to have those conversations. But right now, Matt Humans, host of VSiN Primetime, 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern here on the network. And the Circa Friday Football Invitational is back Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern. Give him a follow on X at Matt Humans 247 joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Good morning to you, Matt. We've been kidding here, talking about Melbourne on Thursday, Rams, Niners. What's the best way to travel? Should you go the day of and then get your work done and then get right out? Or the Niners, you go up there almost a week early. You know a little bit about this travel schedule. What is your sleep deprivation like? How are you still a pro and a functioning one? I think the Rams are trying to do the Matt Humans method.
Yeah, I flew back from Hawaii yesterday morning, and I was up all day, did the show last night. You said good morning. To me, it's good night. I still think it's night. I don't know what you're talking about, morning. Yeah, I haven't slept in quite a while, so I'm sitting here talking to you, and my eyes are shutting on me. I actually feel like I felt the whole time like the 49ers are doing it the right way. You get there, you get somewhat adjusted to Australia, and the Rams playing in at the last minute, I thought they're doing it the wrong way. But I listened to an interview yesterday with a doctor at the University of Michigan. She just babbled on and on about how, no, the Rams got this right. They're doing it right. I feel very strongly about this. I guess everyone in Michigan's an expert about clocks now. But I would say that I think I'm still going to be stubborn here. I'm going to stick with the 49ers. Have got this game preparation thing right. You know, we're all talking about it. None of us really know what the right answer is. But I really think the Niners got it right. And also, I feel like the Rams are being overvalued a little bit here early in the season. And to me, this is the more important part of the handicap, is that Myles Garrett did not practice the entire month of August. We're not sure if Aaron Donald's going to make much of an impact on this game. There's a lot of hype around the Rams right now. Matthew Stafford did not take a snap in the preseason. Puka Nacua has been dealing with all sorts of off-field issues. I like this Rams team a lot, but I think right now the Niners are in pretty even footing with them going into this season opener. And Brock Purdy played a little bit in the preseason. Kyle Shanahan's 11-8 against Sean McVay straight up. I like the Niners. I wouldn't be surprised if they win the game. I took +4 out at the South Point. Chris Andrews has had that up for a few days. But 3.5 is basically the market number. I'll just go on record saying I'll take the Niners +3.5 in this game. I wouldn't be surprised if they win it. By the way, when the Rams come back, they've got a pretty tough schedule in the first 5 weeks. I would not be surprised if after 5 weeks we're talking about the Rams being 3-2. Who knows, maybe even 2-3 if they drop this game. And, I mean, that's kind of a bold prediction for the Super Bowl favorites who are going off at 5-1. But I don't think they're going to be better than 3-2 after 5 weeks. And I would not be surprised if the Niners win this game. This is still a Niners team that considers a championship window being cracked open slightly. And they got plenty of talent. I do like the Niners as dogs in this game in Australia.
Great minds think alike. I locked in Niners money line over the weekend there, Matt, because I went off, as I told Dave, kind of my experience as a professional athlete when we went coast to coast and just how it kind of changed that first day. It was always tough. I never wanted to pitch the first day in the West Coast swing because I just wasn't in, you know, that kind of groove. That second day, locked in, felt great, had the routine under my feet. So I'm with you. That's why I even bet this total under 48.5 when the schedule came out in May. The schedule might favor a couple of teams here that you've got eyed in week one. We now know that it's going to be Tua Tagovailoa that's going to start for the Atlanta Falcons in Acrisure Stadium against Pittsburgh. I told Dave this morning, interested your thoughts, Matt. For the life of me, I can't back Kevin Stefanski in that group, knowing the atrociousness of the quarterback play in the preseason. I love what Aaron Rodgers and Big Mike can do to get started for the last dance. Are we crazy? Right. Is this just like, don't overthink it? This is Steelers all the way there on Sunday afternoon.
All right, so circuit is still at 3. I don't want to lay 3.5 here, but circuit's at 3 minus 125. So I did play the Steelers. I'm going to lay the 3. And Aaron Rodgers, another quarterback who did not take a snap in the preseason, but I don't think that's a big deal. I actually like some things I saw from the Steelers. I think they're probably going to start fast. They might fade late this season as Rodgers, you know, starts to show his age later in the season like he did last year. I thought he played better in the first half than he did in the second half of the season. And Steelers had a pretty good offseason, drafted well the last couple of years. I think they're in pretty good position here to maybe be a bit of a surprise team. You said the key about the Falcons. I think their quarterback play was atrocious in the preseason. You put Super Dave Ross in uniform as Falcons quarterback, and I'd have more respect for the Falcons than I would for Tua in this opener. I watched Tua play in a couple preseason games and said, I can't wait to bet against this guy. Hopefully he doesn't prove me wrong, but I think the Pittsburgh defense is going to be all over him, and he's got not much of a shot here. So give me the Steelers laying the 3. Against the Falcons and Tua, who I don't think has much hope.
Either me or Steve Barkowski at this age, Matt. I think either one of us would still be an upgrade for the Falcons at this juncture. Yeah. How about the Dolphins out there in the desert taking on the Raiders? This is an interesting game to me. 3.5 is what the Dolphins are catching here. And depending on your perspective, some people think the Dolphins are going to be the worst team in the NFL this year, and others think the Raiders could really be a surprise. Would you be willing, knowing it's going to be Kirk Cousins at least in week one, to lay the 3.5 year with the silver and black?
Raiders are doing the right thing by starting Cousins. There's no doubt about it. Mendoza showed in the preseason he's not ready. And Cousins, for all the reporters I talk to who are at practice every day, Cousins has been better, more efficient running the offense consistently throughout camp and in the preseason. There's no doubt he gives Raiders a better chance to win right now. So as far as this Raiders game go, I'm not laying the 3.5. The reason I wanted to talk about this is, can you play the Raiders in Circa Survivor? And I've got multiple entries here, and I'm going to play some entries on the Raiders. I've got a couple partners in the contest, and they're going to hate me if the Raiders lose this game, but I feel like I have to do it. I feel like this is probably the only spot, maybe until December, that you'd want to use the Raiders in this contest. And I do believe the Dolphins are the worst team in the league. After watching the preseason, this Jeff Hafley-Malik Willis combination, I think, is similarly hopeless to what Tua is going into week one. Dolphins, I believe more than half of their salary cap is dead money, dedicated to players who are no longer on the roster. This is a game the Raiders got to win, and I'm going to have to use at least a few Circus Survivor entries on the Raiders, for better or worse.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Okay, no Survivor necessary here in week two of college football, but obviously, as you know, in my part of the country, Matt, we've got a doozy for Saturday night deep in the heart of Texas. Number one, the Ohio State, taking on Arch Manning, Steve Sarkisian, and the Texas Longhorns. Do you take anything away from what both these teams did in their dress rehearsal scrimmages against the week one opponents headed into Saturday night? And is there a spot that you like to back here already this week?
So I don't take much away from Ohio State pounding Ball State or Texas pounding Texas State. Not much at all. But what's interesting to me here is I think this is kind of a coin flip game, and I lean towards Texas a little bit. It sounds like it's going to be 100-plus degrees down in Austin. Ohio State players are tough enough. They can handle that. I think the revenge edge probably goes to the Longhorns a little bit because – they look so bad, and Arch Manning looked so bad in that game a year ago in Columbus. But here's my betting angle on this right now, and I don't play many college football teasers. Will Hill and I talked about this on the show last night. Jensen, I don't know if you've bet this yet or not, but I want to tease Ohio State up to +7.5, and I got to find something to pair it with here. But I think if you get the Buckeyes at +7.5, you have to like that betting aspect of the game, right?
Yes, absolutely. And I think the other part, too, that people don't realize, Bo Jackson is going to be a force. I don't think, obviously, with Jeremiah Smith, a lot of that, he's going to get double teamed. They're going to do whatever they do. They're going to try and take him away and say, beat us on the ground. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, that's all that running back room has been hearing, is that got to get Jeremiah Smith the ball. No. I think you're going to see Julian Sain be mobile. I think you're going to see a little bit of rotation out of the backfield. I'm with you, Matt. I think the teaser aspect is an excellent way to do that if you can find a willing dance partner.
Well, let me ask you guys, would you tease it, Matt, with Michigan? Because Michigan's getting 5.5 now as they flip now to a big dog after how bad they looked in the game they should have lost. They did lose, technically, to Western Michigan. Would you consider Michigan as that stinky dog this weekend and maybe tease them up to 11.5?
I'm not going to put that on the teaser. I'm going to look for a better, something that's a little less volatile, because this Michigan game could go one of two ways. I wouldn't be surprised if the Wolverines beat Oklahoma, right? There's so much Michigan hate out there right now. So many people want to bet against the Wolverines. And this line has flipped all the way from Michigan -1.5 to +5.5. And we've seen this movie many, many times. It's not going to be that easy, right? But you think it's probably not going to be that easy for the Sooners to walk into Ann Arbor and roll over them. So I'm actually considering playing the dog in this game. I don't know if I'm going to do it yet, but I'll give you one more play before I go. North Dakota State -2.5 at Air Force.
Oh, okay. Writing that down. Matt Eumanns, get some sleep. He's our own personal Sean McVay here on the network. We'll find out how he feels tonight on VSiN Primetime, 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Matt, you're the best. Welcome back from Hawaii, my man.
No, thanks,
we're going to do a college football.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
Let's cut the bull. Real football food starts with real beef. Omaha Steaks is the official sponsor of tailgating, and every burger, steak, dog, or brat is made with 100% American beef. No shortcuts, grass-fed, grain-finished, extra-aged, USDA-certified tender. And right now, you can get 2 free pounds of 100% American ultra-premium ground beef on any order of $129 or more. Make game day delicious. No bull. Visit omahasteaks.com/VSIN. That's omahasteaks.com/VSIN. See the site for all of the details. Jensen, it was Labor Day yesterday. Did you get on the grill? Did like with some Omaha Steaks in mind? Because I know it might be one of the top grilling days out there for the country when you get to Labor Day.
Back-to-back shows. I had 6 straight hours of radio yesterday. Our show 7 to 10. I had the great Jim Bowden right after that on LA Network Radio Series Channel 89. And then, Michelle had, she did such a great job yesterday. So she put together veal pancetta burgers and put them on the Blackstone, had some of the chips and frivolity there, got some of the vino rolling. Yes, I mean, we've been so lucky the last week, but the irony is it's been really the only week all summer here in this part of the country where it's been, you know, palatable to sit outside because we've had all the heat and the humidity. Yep. So you just don't want to sit out there. Man, we couldn't have had a better day weather-wise. Blackstone was up and rolling. I know Justin Emery, wherever he is, will be getting the brisket going in earnest. So looking forward to at least some better Saturday and Sundays here as football season gets going from weather and temperature to be able to get the last handful of weeks we can before grilling season is all said and done.
Yeah, I came up here to the Mint Gaming Hall yesterday. The ponies were running. Jensen, I've never seen this place more packed than it was yesterday. I did have a steak here, but I did not make it myself. So I had to pay the freight, but it was well worth the charge. Let's get to some college football. We talked about it with Matt Eumanns in the last segment. And we got some fantastic games to break down. But should you bet them now or should you wait? It's time for the Week 2 College Football Edition of Hold or Fire.
Are we waiting on that bet? Or are we making that bet? Fire! This is Hold or Fire.
There is something to it, Jensen, when you say, man, I'm firing. I'm firing on this game. I've got it. I'm ready to lock and load, and let's do this thing here. But we do this exercise, I think, also in all seriousness here, people, while it's a lot of fun to do, it's really to, should you have some patience of Job out there? Should you think about, well, is this number going to move? Where do I anticipate it going? And that's why we try to do this segment earlier in the week. Now, great conversation, as I mentioned, with Matt Eumanns. Please like, subscribe, VSiN by the Books podcast on that Ohio State-Texas game. And he did mention the weather and that, like as you mentioned, Jensen, there where you are in Ohio, finally getting some nice weather. We had a nice cool day here. And I wonder, Texas, it feels like it's going to be hot. How much do you think that's going to play into the handicap here for number one against number five?
It won't because it's at night. If this game was at noon or 3:30, might be a little bit. But as I just told you, my neck of the woods here, it has been hot and humid. Maybe not the intensely humid Texas summer, but we've been pretty darn close for the majority of it. So conditioning wise, these are elite college athletes. Many of them don't go to class or have someone go to class for them. So they're not really expending too much mental energy and physical energy there. Where we are for our audience, though, Dave, and I am intrigued on where Matt is with the teaser possibility. Holding or firing, I think right now, and I told this to people yesterday, I could see this coming down to a pick'em. At some places, I would grab the 1.5 with Ohio State right now. I do think that they're a better team. I am slightly biased on that front. I just wonder if this total is a little low. Okay. And again, second game of the year, if you do have biggest question for me on the Ohio State side, Ohio State, Matt Patricia defense versus Texas, you're going to see Caleb Downs all year as a Cowboy fan. And it's a huge loss in the back end for the Buckeye secondary. This is as elite a wide receiving group as Ohio State will face all year. What can you do to limit Cam Coleman? What can you do in the underneath passing game? Because there will be opportunities for Arch Manning to go there. You have to respect, you know, Smothers and Brown and Manning's legs in the backfield. So will you get one-on-one opportunities? I think you will. So there could be chunk play opportunities for the Texas offense. And I think that is the early indicator for me if this ends up coming down to, you know, the final couple of plays. So the total does have me a little peaked. It is up from 47.5 to 48.5, Dave. But if you're asking me to fire on something today, I would rather get the 1.5 in pocket with Ohio State and be monitoring this total here for the next couple of days.
And that's exactly why we do the exercise, that you would lean towards Ohio State, that if you're a Buckeye backer, to Jensen's point out there, and you want to take that point and a half and down to one in some spots, this might go away completely. And you could be looking at that pick 'em. And again, we don't normally go out there and say, hey, you should go out there and play teasers, as Matt was talking about with Will Hill last night in the program. But if you were to do that, you should want to see if you could still find those 1.5s on the Ohio State side and fire on that teaser leg today and get that up to 7.5. Because to your point, Jensen, this could go down to a pick 'em. And then there goes really why you're doing that teaser potentially to get over that touchdown to 7.5. That would be gone by the wayside if that moves down to even. So very astute observation. If you're back in the Buckeyes, you'd want to fire on that number today. Okay, Oklahoma, they look good. Michigan, we all saw it. And we got to get those clocks in the big house fixed, hopefully for this week. But Jensen, I just wonder, is it going to look that bad? I mean, look, forget about the calamity at the end of the game. In a game they did technically lose in regulation, then you get the extra second. We all know that. But up until that point, they just got beaten by Western Michigan at home in the big house. And Bryce Underwood looked terrible. I mean, he looked awful to the point where Kyle Whittingham saying today, hey, he's our starting quarterback now, but he's got to look better or else that job could be up for grabs. Jensen, if you like Boomer Sooner, do you fire and lay the 5.5 here on a Tuesday?
I do think that's the sharper side, Dave. I would be more apt to take this under. And I know it's already down a couple of points. I think I'm still okay if you force me to fire on under 43.5. And I will just go on recency bias here. You're giving me Brent Venables' defense, who is the most athletic he's had since he took the job in Norman. You're giving me an offense that doesn't mind if they got to matriculate their way down the field. Now, make no mistake, Michigan's defense at home is still excellent. It's still excellent, Dave. And so there are going to be issues, I think, for this Oklahoma offense. They may get into the red zone, but Michigan may be able to stiffen up and force them into threes. And that's fine if you're an under better. I would say even the dead number of 5.5, we usually, you know, look at that in the NFL and say, all right, whatever. In college, I would say that I could still get home on Oklahoma -5.5. And my question would be to you, Dave, is would you rather be sweating it out with what you just saw with Bryce Underwood and that group at home against Western Michigan, unable to really get any sense of offense going, and have to sweat out getting the 5.5? Or would you rather have multiple bites at the apple with John Matera in that offense? And also a potential turnover, maybe a pick six with the way that Underwood is a little shifty right now. I think I'd rather have Oklahoma 5.5 in pocket.
Here's the weird thing. If you remember last year in the infancy stages of the college football season, my favorite game was Oklahoma hosting Michigan. I think that was week two a year ago as well. Maybe it was week three, memory serves. And it was no sweat getting that went across the line here for Oklahoma. They were just flat out better than Michigan. And now this number is flipped because of what we saw against Western a year ago. My only trepidation here is Kyle Whittingham wasn't here last year when Michigan lost that game there in Boomer Soonerland. But those other kids that are still there is going to be that revenge factor here for Michigan's for the Michigan side. And they can't play any worse. I don't think they can play any worse than they did last week. And if they do, they're going to get blown out at home at the big house. And that's just something you don't expect. This is a stay away for me right now because something tells me, I think I'm with you that I'd rather have Oklahoma, maybe look to a money line parlay at -225. I don't think they'll lose the game, but covering that dead number, as you mentioned, of 5.5 could get tricky if there's any pride. And you would think there would be some here for Michigan after as awful as it looked a week ago. Very quickly, Oregon did not look great in their win against Boise State. Remember, that was in Eugene. Now they're going to go take on Eric Morris, new head coach there, instead of Mike Gundy at Oklahoma State. And Oklahoma State looked terrible and lost to Tulsa. Very quickly, are you willing to lay it with Oregon on the road and fire the big number today, 22.5?
Yes, absolutely. Maybe even take some alternate spreads. This was a very sloppy team. A lot of penalties, a lot of issues for Dan Lanning. The wake-up call was there. He's been yelling at him all week. Lay the 22.5 and go ahead and cash that ticket.
I think I'm with you on that. I think I just lay it with a quack attack here. They should look like one of the best teams in the country. They did not look like it a week ago. Okay, when we come back, we're getting oh so close here. One day away from the start of the NFL season. Going to break it down. Patriots Seahawks next right here. Peace and butter folks.